kids, as you know, say the darndest things. Politicians usually don't. In this age of being obsessively on message and where an errant slip of the tongue can end a campaign in an instant, our elected leaders are nothing if not careful, which makes rescinding a tweet such a funny exercise. And unless a vigilant eye has seen the tweet come and go, most of us are none the wiser. Until now, Tom Lee is director of the Sunlight Labs group of the Sunlight Foundation and heads up something called Politwoops, where retracted tweets are resurrected. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So there have been times, and I think the late Andrew Breitbart did this famously, where a politician was caught sending out something unseemly. I'm talking about Anthony Weiner now. And retracted it, but Breitbart found it and shared it with the world. You have this process now automated.
Right. We don't want to rely on happenstance or the good luck of having a reporter paying attention when news happens. We want to make sure that this information is accessible to everybody and that people can make individual judgments about what's newsworthy or not.
Now, I already talked about Anthony Weiner. Can you give me some other examples of political tweets that the politicians tried to erase from history?
Sure. Probably the most politically relevant one is Jeff Miller, Republican from Florida. Shortly before we launched, he or someone in his office tweeted a link to an online poll that questioned whether or not the president was born in the United States. This was a relatively big story, and ultimately it led to him deleting his Twitter account. We had one instance of a legislator tweeting back at a follower who'd said something nice about their position, I think, on taxes or the deficit, only to then notice that the Twitter handle of their follower was, I think, Campy's Porn Shack, and then clawed it back. It's not possible to be perfect at all times, you know? And I hope that we can be a part of conveying that lesson, that we'll eventually be able to accept these folks as just human beings, not perfectly manicured and polished specimens.
All right. Now, I'm glad you brought up that subject, because on the face of it, Politwoops sounds like just the latest iteration of the gotcha culture that has just so sullied the political process in this country. Is this just the automation of gotcha?
I don't really think so. I think that there's already enough people paying attention to each lawmaker's account that the next Anthony Weiner is going to be caught and screenshotted right away. Politwoops is stuff that's a little bit more charming and personal by and large. My favorite example from the site is Newt Gingrich tweeting excitedly about being on Leno that evening and saying that he hopes that Snooki, his fellow guest, likes zoos and animals, which I don't think is an instance of gotcha at all. It's just sort of a charming window into how this guy is thinking about the next media appearance he's got on what I'm sure is a busy schedule. In other cases, you know, it's things like a lawmaker tweeting to compare The Bachelor to The Hunger Games, and I'm not sure why that's pulled back exactly.
Because God forbid they've been caught being humans.
Exactly. For what it's worth, I don't think that lawmakers have to respond to this kind of oversight, I guess, by muzzling themselves. You can look at someone like Chuck Grassley, who is a prolific tweeter, and I think it's fair to say a somewhat ridiculous tweeter in the way that he uses weird abbreviations and actually is really candid, to his credit, in how he communicates with his followers. And, you know, he's received some, I don't know, gentle teasing about that, but it hasn't stopped him, and it shouldn't stop him. You know, I follow a number of lawmakers. One of them that comes to mind is Claire McCaskill, who's really great about sharing the details of her schedule. Sometimes it's campaigny events, you know, shots with constituents. Other times it's a shot from the treadmill in the hotel where she's staying. And I have a better sense of what her life is like and what her constituents are implicitly asking her to do by electing her.
Now, the Sunlight Foundation was actually an institution that encouraged members of Congress to embrace Twitter. I'm just curious how you think it's gone now that so many lawmakers do, in fact, use the platform.
Twitter, I think, used to be regarded as a toy for politicians or something that just was less important. But it's become a first-class way for legislators to communicate with their constituents. And we think it should be subject to the same standards as other media. You don't get to call a do-over when you give a bad quote or you send out a press release that's wrong or you're photographed with a supporter who turns out to be an extremist or a criminal. Those aren't things that the media or the public allows of legislators through other communications media. So why should social media be different?
Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Lee runs Politwoops, a project of Sunlight Labs at the Sunlight Foundation. We will link to some Politwoops on our website.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.